Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 15th of January, recording at 8:47 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook at the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick look at the highlights of the week. And, well, what are they? In terms of stock markets, treading water, I would say, for the most part, but generally, firm tone in terms of the overall trend. And today, there's a little more profit-taking, particularly in Europe and the USA, with declines of 1% or more. Now, on long-dated government bonds, they've been a bit steadier this week, particularly the U.S. Treasuries. The U.S. dollar had been weak pretty well all week, but has bounced today, particularly against the euro. And in precious metals, so they've seesawed a little bit in here, but are down today. Gold is currently at $1,131.63. Crude oil hit a new recovery high with the help of the cold snap, I think almost entirely due to the cold snap, but has not been able to maintain it as the weather has improved somewhat. It's currently at 78. That's crude NYME. And I think those are the main points. Nickel, maybe the firmest of the industrial metals this week. I'm not quite sure about that, but it did firmed up with a key day reversal earlier in the week, upside key day reversal. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we still have the majority of them in overall upward trends characterized by higher reaction lows. And as long as that remains the case, then I will be very much inclined to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. To indicate clear evidence of deterioration, well, let's put it this way, you can't get a correction, let alone a bear market, without breaking the progression of higher reaction lows. Now, there's plenty to worry about, as we often say in these audios, in terms of slow growth and debt problems. And people are worrying about it and have done so continuously, really since the crash back in the fourth quarter of 2008. But the game changer, of course, has been the quantitative easing. And monetary policy remains extremely accommodative, although it has tightened a little bit in the stronger economies, and that causes a flap every time it happens. China is the latest example. They increased the reserve requirements that the banks need to hold, increased that slightly. It's a sensible policy, in my opinion. But to say that this is a monetary squeeze would be a huge exaggeration, and I'm very much of the view that China wants its stock market to eventually move higher. No, of course it doesn't want bubbles. And yes, of course, any strong growth economy will seed bubbles. And it's up to the monetary authorities to step in and let the air out of them, as they did in 2007. And they've shown the capacity and foresight to do so again. Would that the Fed and Bank of England had done that earlier on, not only in this decade, but in the previous decade. So, overall, I think we have, as expected, an ongoing cyclical bull market. I don't know how long it will last, nor does anyone else, but obviously a change in monetary policy will be almost certainly the most crucial factor of the known knowns that will eventually and bring it to a halt. Now, again, central banks don't really know when they're going to raise interest rates significantly, if they are going to do that. So I'm not going to try to guess when that's actually going to happen. It depends on events yet to unfold. But I have described this environment as a sweet spot. At worst, it's maybe a tiny bit less sweet than it was because stock markets have really done extremely well. But I don't think the game is over. And while there's a feeling of general foreboding in the more bearish quarters, that's often been the case after we've had really big, massive blowouts. Fortunately, they aren't all that common. I can think of three and a half of them in my career, which spans almost 45 years. But what my point is that investors are terrified for some time thereafter, but history shows whether that blowout was was in 2000, or whether it was in 87, whether it was in 73, 74. History shows that markets actually recover quite well, sometimes in a choppy fashion. But the key dynamic in all that, of course, is that the best bull markets or the longest recoveries have historically emerged from the ashes of the previous bear market. Stock market recovers like the phoenix, and well, we've seen that. We saw that last year, didn't we? From March onwards. And therefore, in the seeming paradox, what I would really worry about would be strong synchronized global GDP growth, because then central banks would have no compunction whatsoever to tighten monetary policy considerably. And that may happen at some point. But if we limp along here, as we are limping along, certainly in the West, that's not a bad environment overall for equities when companies are able to improve their profits through good management and also cost cutting, largely in the form of personnel. But when you look at the results that Intel saw, for instance, and that's a sector that Fuller Money likes, stunning results. And that shows what's achievable. So the US economy is certainly not robust, and consumption's going to remain weak for some time, probably. But individual companies will do extremely well. And so we continue to favor the Fuller Money themes, those Asian-led emerging markets, South American resources markets, the commodity plays, particularly industrial commodities, and within the industrial commodities, particularly metals. And we also like precious metals. So there are a lot of in-form markets there that we have been benefiting from and continue to benefit from. And if you want sleepers that might, well, not might, but will move at some future date, and there are things like the green energy funds, and I've just written a little bit about that today, inspired by Alex Siegel's comments in The Contrarian Investor. Now, what else to mention? Long-dated government bonds. The long-term pressure, I think, will be upwards for yields, but we're not seeing it right now. And that's favorable. Bonds are one of the canaries in the coal mines, and in the coal mine that I've often referred to. I don't want to see yields move up too much. I think when we see yields at 5%, for instance, for UK gilts, for 10-year gilts, for US 10-year treasuries, I think the bear market will be beckoning. But they may well stay under 4 for a protracted period. There's a possibility that we may get some dull ranging this year. I think all of us could live with that. But the main thing is that the overall upward trends, as I say, are still intact. Looking at currencies. Now, Owen's done a piece on currencies here today, but we've mentioned pretty well daily that the dollar did not have the technical support to indicate more than a technical rebound, which it saw during December. And subsequently, the dollar has moved to new reaction lows, in other words, below December's lows against a number of Asian currencies. The story, as Owen points out here today, and I think also last night in his audio, was that it's really been less a matter of dollar strength than euro weakness, if you look at the world's currencies. And I certainly agree with that point. What's interesting, and to use a term that we've often used, and it's not an original term, but that is that as far as these fiat currencies are concerned, we're involved in sort of a leapfrog race to the bottom, and we've had the competitive devaluations in the UK and the USA. Now it looks like we may be getting them in Euroland. Whether or not this has been nudged by the ECB, which has certainly jawboned, protested, in other words, when the euro has been at its firmest, and also the yen. The Japanese have indicated quite clearly that they want a weaker yen, and they certainly need a weaker yen. But whether the ECB has nudged the euro lower, or people are just reacting to the sovereign debt problems of countries like Greece, Spain, and perhaps Ireland, we are definitely seeing a soft euro at the moment, and that wouldn't surprise. My hunch overall is that the dollar isn't going to do anything dramatic anytime soon. My hunch is that the dollar will firm a bit more, possibly against the euro, but it will mostly range. And within, again, I'm talking about against the majority of currencies, particularly OECD currencies. And my hunch is that the strongest currencies will remain among the ones we've liked all along, which will be, if you just look at the Asian dollar index, that continues to lead the way up, and the Latin American dollar index isn't doing badly either. So, what else to mention? Precious metals. we've got good leadership coming from platinum and particularly palladium. Now that's useful analytically. I haven't traded palladium at all in this cycle. One of the reasons for that is that because it's a thinner market, that the spreads that the spread betting firms charge have been unusually wide. It's also been a problem with platinum. The best spreads are with gold, of course, $1 or even less. But in every one of these bull runs in the precious metals, we've had a lead currency, I beg your pardon, we've had a lead precious metal. Once it was silver, I think that was in that 2005-6 boom. In 2007, that boom that started moved into 2008, platinum was the clear leader. And that's been incredibly useful analytically. Because what would tend to happen is that an important peak would be reached by the top performing accelerating precious metal. And that's not unusual. One of the points that we often make at the chart seminar, and I've made repeatedly in this service, is that the leaders usually lead in both directions. In other words, what does best on the way up? Is likely to actually peak during some of the corrections And most importantly, by the end of the bull run. So here we are, halfway through January, and the first quarter of the year is a seasonally bullish period for precious metals. The patterns can support higher levels overall, and I'm saying keep your eye on palladium and platinum, because one of those two will probably give, if we're fortunate, and I think we will be fortunate, because the stronger these uptrends are, the more likely we will see this, but we'll suddenly get a really dynamic signal, and then there'll be a little bit of a pause, a bit like the cartoon characters that run off the edge of the cliff and are sort of suspended in the air for a few moments and then look down before plunging. So we'll get that type of delayed reaction in things like gold and silver. But meanwhile, I think we've got further gains, and the gains could be quite decent. Certainly, with gold taking out its high that we saw, I think up at $1,127, was it? Don't hold me to that exact figure, but that's going to be close to it. And with silver moving to a new all-time high. Crude oil, we still have the ranging upward trend overall, but this is a bit of a laggard in here overall for reasons previously mentioned, not least competition from other forms of energy, not least being the gas, natural gas from shale rock. The nuclear story, I think, is hugely interesting, but it's not performing right now. I think we'll just have to be patient for that, a little bit like the green energy story. And soft commodities, a bit of a dangerous game, that more volatile than these other commodities. Best to pick them up when they're oversold, technically. And we comment on those swings and roundabouts as much as we can in the service. And what else to mention? Fundamentally, copper is probably the best of the industrial metals. We have commonality there. But copper has run ahead, so some of the others are getting catch-up moves here right now. I like the sector still. And I think that's pretty much it overall. So, still in that sweet spot. I wouldn't get carried away. I would add to, whether it's commodity trades or core investment positions, try to add to them on pullbacks. And continue to monitor the charts closely. That's what we will do. Meanwhile, have a great weekend. I hope it's warmer where you are. It is a little bit warmer in London, fortunately. All the best.